Good morning, everyone. Let's open in prayer if we could. Father God, we just thank you for this day, for your mercies which last forever, for your goodness, for your love. We thank you that you have given us of yourself and of your love. Father God, reveal to us your love that we may walk in it as you would have us walk in it. We thank you for the truth of your word. Holy Spirit, lead me as you would have me share, that you may be able to reveal to us what you would have for us today. Thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Well, this week I was actually sharing with David out in the lobby. For those of you who know me, I'm a fairly organized person, and I kind of like to know what's coming up in advance. It's just kind of, I've gotten better at this, okay? Not to say that you're not supposed to be organized. Being organized to a certain extent is actually very good. But as long as it doesn't constrict you from doing what God would have you do in the moment, okay? And so in the past, I will put it, I like knowing, okay, what was coming up next week. And I've been spending time with God, actually the last several weeks going, okay, when does this series on love end? And even going into today, I'm like, well, is this it? And he says, well, you'll find out at the end of the service. And so for me, I can now laugh at that. Before, that would have bothered me a bit. And now I'm like, well, we'll see how far we get. And if there's more to share, well, we'll share next week. If he has me wrap it up this week, then we will. I got to leave that up to him, not up to me. Because if I try to force it, it's just not going to go well. So I'm just asking that he leads me, and we'll see where we get to. I did want to start kind of where we've been starting. It's kind of, I've laughed about it a few times when I've been at home preparing. And that is, if people were to just go online and listen to the beginning of each week, they may think, well, I've already heard this before. Have I already listened to this one? Because we have been starting at the same place. And that is simply that God has impressed upon me and through his Spirit to continually share with you what he's looking, one of the things he's looking to get into us is to continually take our next step in love. Whatever it is we're about to do, let's make sure we're going to do it in love. And that has been a difference in my life. It's made me stop, I'll say in the last 3 or 4 months, several times, just take a little pause before I'm about to do something and go, what would that look like if I did it now knowing what God's revealed to me? And in just taking that pause, all I will say is it's helped me walk it out a little bit better than I did in the past. I just know it because I go, okay, God, this is what you've been showing me, so this is what I need to apply here. This is what it needs to look like. And so it's been a help to me. And even as we wind down in this series, one of the things that I'm hoping, well, at least for myself, I'm certain this is going to happen. I've settled it in my heart that this is not an end, but rather just a picking up and a going on. It began many years ago for all of us. We've walked in a certain degree in love in these different aspects, I'm sure all of us to a certain extent. But as he shows you more, you need to pick up and desire more and more. So all I'm praying for myself, and hopefully I'm praying for all of you too, is that, okay, oh, we're done with love now. We can go on to something else. No, you can't. We can talk about some other things, but you're not done with love. Okay? So let's keep going on and keep desiring from God. Show me more of your love. Because in that way, as he reveals it to us, we can walk in more of it. So I did want to pick up where we left off last week and just a very brief review, because there was one thing I didn't get to share at the end of last week, but knowing that I was going to start this week, I could just pick up there. At the end of last week we shared from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, particularly verse 7 last week. And we looked at, there are four things listed in verse 7 that says love is. And it's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Last week, we looked at the fourth one, endures all things, and the first one, bears all things. Wrapped up with bears all things, and explained it and gave some examples that Jesus set forth before us in his word, and how Jesus walked in this aspect of love. We talked specifically about when the scribes and Pharisees brought to Jesus the woman caught in adultery. And it's like, so what do you say? Well, you know what he said to her? He started writing in the sand. Now, he had something to say to them because they weren't walking in love, okay? They were trying to point out her faults, which love doesn't do, okay? And instead, as we looked at last week, that definition of that Greek word used there is not the same Greek word as in other places where we think this means to pick up someone else's burden and help them carry something. The Greek word used here, this translated as bears, literally means to put a roof over, which means to protect that which is underneath that. And figuratively, and how it would be applied according to love, because that's what it's talking about there, literally means to cover in silence. Okay? So that which you know, that which you've heard firsthand from someone, that which you know about them, be it bad, or let's say it's something of sin, or maybe something they're just lacking in, a fault, a shortcoming, those things we don't share according to love. Okay? And that's what this bears all things means. Now, what I've done in each case throughout this series is I've shared what God's word is saying, and then I've given Jesus and God the Father's examples to us from his word, but then I've also shared from my own life. And as I was preparing this, last week I didn't share this part, but it's really quick, and there's a reason. I'll explain it. This is one that I've actually got to walk in for quite a long time, something that God actually impressed upon me back while I was married. Most of you know that at one time I was married. And for any of you who are married, all I will say is this bears all things is very important. Okay? Very important. Wives for your husbands. Husbands for your wives. Most of us who are or have been married, you know the shortcomings of the other person, and they know yours, okay? And if there's even any sin going on, they probably are aware of it too, okay? And the key is you don't go sharing that outside the marriage. But it's the same way even if it's not involved in a marriage. The Bible doesn't restrict it to a marriage, okay? It's really to everybody. If you know something in confidence, you keep it in confidence, okay? But so for me, God impressed this upon me. It was something, one area or aspect of love that he impressed upon me back in the 90s when I was married. And I'd been walking in it for quite some time. And as you all know, while you're married, and if you are still married, guess what? Your husband's not perfect. And guess what? Your wife's not perfect, you know? And we never will be. In my own life, we have the opportunity to, as I said, share about someone else. All I can say is, once I was no longer married to my wife, I could no longer love her in the way that a husband loves a wife. However, I could love her in the way that God tells me that I'm supposed to love her, and that's the agape love. That's what we're talking about here. So I have continued for the last, you know, roughly 15 years since being married, I have never shared with anybody about any shortcoming or fault of my ex-wife because love won't let me do that. You know, and all I'm saying is it needs to be that way with everyone that we walk with. It's just love doesn't let you do that. So if you ever find yourself about to do it, once again, pause. Okay, what would this look like? Oh, wouldn't say that. You know, so it's just a good place to pause if you're about to say something negative about anybody. What I shared last week from the passage says there's a time to speak and a time not to speak. Well, the time not to speak is if you're about to say something and you're not saying it in love. The time to speak is when you're going to say something and you're going to say it in love. Okay, that's when you want to speak. So unless when you're about to say something, stop and go, is this what love would say? Well, then go ahead and say it. Okay? So for me, this is one of those areas that I've grown a little bit in. Once again, can we say we're completely there yet? No, I'm sure God can show me more. I've had tests, and I'm sure all of you have. Have you ever had what looks like the same test more than once? I like I said, I've told people, I talk to God all the time, and I've gone to a test, and I thought, oh, at the end of that, I finally passed. It took a while, but I passed, okay? And then literally like roughly 3 or 4 years later, I was back in what looked like the very same test. And I talked to God, and I'm going, wait a minute, I already passed this one. What's going on here? I don't need this one again. He said, yeah, you passed that, but there's more you need to see in that. In other words, there's more you can learn. There's more I have to reveal to you, and you're going to see it this time so that you can walk in that. And it's the same way with everything as God shows us in love. So today we're going to continue on in verse 7, and we're going to look at the two aspects in the middle that we didn't talk about last week. And that is believes all things, love believes all things, and love hopes all things. And let's get an idea of what this means. Not going to spend quite as much time going into detail because God has me showing several things, and what my prayer is in my heart is that, okay, if I get to a certain point and you decide, well, I needed more there, well, guess what? You don't need me to give it to you. You know, you can get that on your own from God. and that's my hope and prayer, is that when I'm done sharing about this, you don't stop there. Keep going back to him. Well, there's more here. All I can say is, what often gets me digging into the word is when I start looking and then going, I get the idea, there's more here. And I just go, God, what is it? And it shouldn't surprise me because it happens over and over again, and I don't think it'll surprise you either, that when you ask that question, he'll show you. Okay? So if you get to something and you're looking at something, you go, I know this, but there's more. I'm getting the sense there's more. Well, then spend some time with him and find out what it is. Because the reason you're seeing that there's more is because he wants you to know what it is. Okay? So let's look at believes all things. And believes all things, this is kind of funny. I shared this with Pastor Bill on the telephone this week. And I've shared this in other teachings kind of in the same way. Now, all I will say is people that don't know the word of God and don't know God may look at this quite wrong. If they were to just look at this verse and say, oh, it believes all things. That means anything that anyone shares with you about someone else, you believe it. Yeah, no. In fact, that's exactly the opposite of what it's saying here. Believes all things doesn't mean believe everything you hear about somebody. Okay? Now, in fact, the Bible even makes it quite clear that even if you know the source you're talking to is credible, in other words, you trust that person, you still might want to get a second witness to the same thing. If the source is not credible, you might really consider not even thinking about it at all until a credible source, someone that you trust, that you know is a godly man or woman, and they've shared something with you, and you can tell they've done it out of a heart of love. There's a reason behind sharing it with you. And so we got to make sure that we're not believing all things as the world would think believing all things. So what does this really mean here? And I just hit a button on there that I shouldn't have, and it covered up what I was going to say. This is actually an area, most of what I have in here are a lot of scriptures and just some notes that'll trigger something in me so I can speak about it. But every once in a while, I'll be meditating, spending some time in God's word, and looking at something that God will reveal to me and show me, and then all of a sudden I'll get a sense of something in a specific way, and I'll go, oh, that was good. In other words, just in a certain way, like I need to remember it that way, and so I know when I'm going to teach it, I'll actually type it out. Literally write it out, because I can't think of any better way of saying this, and I don't want to forget it. So I shared this with Pastor Bill just yesterday, that I actually typed this out back probably a couple months ago now, because when I was looking at this passage, or this believes all things, and going, so what is this? And here is what I got. It is, believes all things means that we are to entrust another's spiritual well-being to Christ, just as we do our own. Love has faith in the source of love, okay? Namely, God, okay? And As such, this aspect of love then sees man as God sees man. And that's what it means to believe all things. Believe all things that God says about another person. And where are you going to find that at? You can find it right in God's word. Okay? What does God say about your fellow man? And the first thought that came to my mind, and I know there's some real animal lovers in here, and I use the word animal and lovers together because we're talking about love. And the first thought that came to my mind, I go, and not trying not to be judgmental, so no one take it that way. All I can say is I've looked at some situations and go, you know, it looks like they love their dog or their cat more than they do people. I don't know. Once again, you don't need to raise your hands, but have you ever thought that? All I can say is I've thought it before. And is that even right? I'm not saying it is, but I've looked at it and go, this is not the way it should be. In fact, you know, the Word of God talks about this over and over again. I think they had the same issue, only with different animals back then. It wasn't the dogs and cats. There are actually passages in the Bible that take time to say that God loves us, man, more than he does goats. How about that? See, back to them, goats were pretty important. But it literally says in Matthew 12:12 that he loves, that man is more valuable than sheep are. Okay? And then in Luke 12:24, it tells us that man is more valuable to God than birds are. Okay? More valuable. And how can we know this? Well, even further on down, there's another passage. I'm sure you all know the story. Once again, where the scribes and Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus in something, and they've got him. They know they've got him. Because there's this man set before him with dropsy. That's the word they use. Okay? So he's got an illness. And it's the Sabbath. Which most of his miracles seem to happen on the Sabbath. I don't know if you've noticed that. And that's what they're trying to catch him in here. And they're saying, you know, is it lawful for you to actually heal this man on the Sabbath? And Jesus' response really points us back to what would love do, looking at man and how we should love them. He actually once again goes back to animals. So, you who are so concerned with the law, would any of you, if your, I do believe it was oxen, and or your donkey winds up falling like in a pit, would you leave him there on the Sabbath? No. You'd pull him out. Because that's what love would do. And so Jesus' response to this was, okay, I'm healing the man. He's more valuable than any donkey or any oxen or anything else. There's value in this man, and I'm healing this man. Okay? Now, to me, the greatest example, once again, we've talked about this before, of the worth that God sees in man, the value. And it's back, we've talked about it. If we want to see love to its greatest example and extent, we see it at the cross. And so what does John 3:16 tell us? It says, for God so loved the world. That doesn't mean this earth per se in its shape. The world means the people living on this planet. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, he had to see us as pretty valuable to give up his son. Literally. He saw us as so valuable that he was willing to give his son for us. That's how we need to see other people, as we're acting towards them in love. If we value them that much, it will shape how we act towards them. Do we value them the way God values them? He values them enough to give his son for them. Think about that. I have. He values them enough to give his son for them. He did it for me, but he also did it for them. Okay? That's the way we need to see them too. If we can see them that way, it will shape how we act towards them. Okay? So that's really what believes all things means. Look at them the way God looks at them. See worth in them, okay? Now let's go on to hopes all things, okay? Believes all things, and then hopes all things. To hope all things means that we are to see potential in others the same way that God sees potential in us. And how can I say that? Well, because the Bible says it. And that's really the only way we can have hope. What we got to make sure is we don't, trying to think of the way to say it, that we don't confuse wishing with hope. Hope is not wishing. Okay, the world does a lot of wishing. Hope only comes from that which we have God's word in, telling us we can hope in this. Okay? And there are many things in the Bible that tells us that we can have that confident expectation in because his word says it. Okay? So if we've got God's word on it, we can have hope in it. Okay? And one of the examples that jumped out at me, it's a verse that I've shared here in different times in different teachings. But what is this hope that we can be thinking about towards others that would affect how we respond to others in love? And it goes back to what it says in Philippians 1:6. It literally says there that we can be confident, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, what that means is you have to look at someone else. Now, if you're going to do this according to love and according to God's word, and if you're going to hope all things, you need to look at them and go, yeah, but I've seen your sin. That doesn't matter. Or I've seen your slip-ups or faults or shortcomings or whatever. You don't look at that. You look at it and go, okay, I see where you're at. You may not be where I'm at, but that doesn't matter because we're all in different places. But what we have to look at is God says he's going to keep working on them the same way he's working on you. And so you have to look at them the same way, not judge them, but rather say, okay, if you see a shortcoming, well, then pray that God reveals that to them if they haven't seen it yet. Or maybe come alongside them. Maybe God will lead you to share some things with them that'll help them in this area. But whatever you do, you don't say, oh, I see that. And then you respond according to what you see. There's a verse, I think I've shared this before. We were required to learn 75 verses when we went through what was known as the ministry training school back in the 90s in Northwestern PA through Armada. And we had many verses that we were to learn, but what I found was, as I started looking at them, the verse before the one we had to learn, the one afterwards was just as good or better. and so there's a passage that we had to learn, and I'm sure pretty much every one of you in here know it, probably can quote it. And so I have you go there. And let's see if I can find it here exactly. Don't want to give you a wrong passage, but you'll all know this. You've all heard the verse. It says this. It says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Most people know that one. The verse before that says this. It says, starts with the same therefore. Therefore, from now on, that means the moment you see this and God's revealed this to you, from that point forward, all the time. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Then it goes into the other verse that I quoted. So what is that saying to us here? When we're looking at other people, don't look at that outward flesh, that appearance, what you're seeing. They are spirit just as you are spirit. We need to look at them in the spirit as God looks at them in the spirit. We don't judge according to the outward appearance. We are to look at them and react in a spirit of love, because that is the fruit of the Spirit in this case. So if you're looking at people and going, but this is what I see, take your eyes off from that. What does the Spirit tell you? How is the Spirit leading you to act towards that person? Okay? I'd like you all to look at a specific verse here. This one I don't have memorized, so let me see if I can find the scripture location. Well, first let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:5. We've been looking at 7, but let's just back up two verses because it applies and fits right here. And that is, there's a phrase in there. Once again, as I've told you before, I often use these, love doesn't do these things. And that's what you see in verses 5 and 6. And it says, one of the things it says there is that love thinks no evil. Okay? And there's a reason for discussing this right now, because it ties in with what we just talked about. Okay? We talked about, you don't look at what you see going on in the flesh. You got to look in the Spirit. This thinking no evil ties right in here. Because if in fact you're doing this, thinking evil of someone, it's going to make it very hard, I will say, and I would probably go on to say next to impossible, for you to actually do what we've been talking about, to bear all things, to believe all things, to hope all things. If you're actually thinking evil about that person, you're going to find these other three things really difficult to do that we just talked about. Okay? So this really ties in here. But what we need to see here is from this verse, 1 Corinthians 13:5, that word thinks there. We need to be clear on what this phrase is saying based on that word thinks. Here, literally, it means to take an inventory. That word think, if you look it up, the Hebrew or the Greek word there literally means to take an inventory. So if you start taking an inventory of whatever you see people doing around you, you're not loving them. Because that starts building up things. Well, I've got this against them, I've got this against them, and this is wrong in their life, and there's this. And if you're taking that inventory, it's going to be impossible for you to do this. Believes all things and hopes all things and bears all things. So we cannot be thinking evil about someone, or in other words, taking an inventory. I found it really interesting that he had me look that word up and then look at it. Proverbs 19:11 actually has a way of kind of putting this in a positive spin. Thinks no evil. I look at it and go, well, this is what you ought not do. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. So in other words, don't look at it and take an inventory and stack it against their count. It says here that, and his glory is to overlook the transgression. Okay? The Hebrew word translated overlook there has many different ways of saying what's meant there if you start looking at the definitions that are listed under that Hebrew word, but they all generally mean the same thing. And the first one I read there was, and you probably heard people say this, get over it. But that's literally the first definition when I looked at that word overlook, it says to get over. So when you see someone sinning or their shortcomings or their faults, get over it. That's literally what it means there. To put it away. In other words, don't stack it in your inventory. Put that away. And the last thing it said struck me the most when I read it. It literally said to make a partition. Think about what a partition does. It puts up a wall between this side and that side. To make a partition means up. What you're seeing is over here, and now there's a partition here. You can't see it anymore. Yep, there's this partition there. And that's literally what that Hebrew word there makes, to overlook a transgression. Put up a partition there. Don't even see it. It's on the other side, and you can't see it anymore. See, that keeps you from stacking it up and having it in your inventory, okay? So I think what I'm going to do now is actually wrap up the teaching, this series, and typically the way we talk about this, and even when Pastor Bill and I've talked about it, we all understand that there aren't two different services on Sunday morning. There's different parts of one service. And in the first part, we talk about it as a teaching, and that's typically what I do. And even as I thought about how God would have me close this series out, it was, okay, I think Pastor Bill will forgive me if I start preaching at the end. I have actually, it's kind of funny, sometimes I'll be sharing, and by the time I get done, I go, boy, that sounded like I was preaching. Well, that's okay too. So I think he'll forgive me. But really what I want to do is just go back through a few specific verses that we've already talked about, kind of tie them together in what I would call an exhortation to you. And that is, just do what the Word tells us we should be doing, what we've heard these last 11 weeks. And the first thought that hit me when I thought of, well, how do I close this? It was the fact that we've spent 11 weeks on this. I go, you know, that to some people that can sound like an awful long time. To me, it's gone by very quickly. Have I ever taught 11 weeks on one topic before? I don't think so. I may have once or twice. I've taught many weeks. I don't know that I've ever kept track so that I would remember. But it's not in general that I'll teach 11 weeks on something, six, seven maybe. But I started thinking about it. So why so long? And the first thought it hit me, well, what's the Bible say about love? And the verse that came to my mind right away was, okay, we spent nearly 3 months on this. Why would that be? Well, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says something. It's a verse you all know. It says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. If this is the greatest thing, you think we ought to spend some time on it. And continue spending time on it. Now think about how important faith is. We don't come to God, we don't get saved if we don't have faith. And it goes on to say, anything that you're doing once you're saved, if it's not done in faith, it doesn't do you any good. Okay? God's not going to see it as it should be, as it should be in your life. We must continue to do in faith the rest of our life. And yet it says here, love is even greater than faith. The greatest of these is love. So guess what? Love warrants our concentration because God is love, and that's where our concentration is supposed to be, okay? So that's just what he impressed upon me is see it that way. Literally see it the way God sees it. God sees love as the greatest of all of these things. So if you see things the way God does, then you'll prioritize things the way God prioritizes things. And he's saying this ought to be a priority in your life. Okay? And now abide faith, hope, and love. Okay? Then here's a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we haven't looked at yet. It precedes basically 4 through 7, which kind of gives us Paul's partial definition of love. We've talked about how there are many other places, especially when you start looking at the cross. This definition is not an all-inclusive definition. In other words, you're not going to look at 4 through 7 and say, yep, this is love and this is all there is to it. No, read the rest of the Bible. We've brought some of those things in over this time frame, but I will tell you there's even more. There's things that God's shown me in these last 6 months that I haven't shared with you. Why? Well, because he hasn't led me to. And so each time I would go back, well, do you want me to share this? Well, I could tell, nah. And maybe sometime later he'll have me share it in some way, but he spoke to me specifically in some other areas. But 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. I want to read it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, we just talked about this, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, here's an interesting phrase, I am nothing. I am nothing if I don't have love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I actually had an opportunity to share this with a young gentleman. I have a really good friend who's a young man of God. And more or less what I like doing him is giving a little test to see where he's at before I start sharing. And I actually shared, without reading the exact scripture, I asked him the question. I go, so, who are you if you don't have love? And he looked at me and he said, nobody. And I says, well, what do you have? He says, I don't have anything. I go, man, that's, I said, that's right. And he goes, really? Yeah. And he couldn't quote the scripture. He says, I really didn't know that. But literally, he's like, he gave me those answers. So he kind of knew it without knowing it. He's probably heard the scripture before, but had he ever really thought it through and thought about it? Because after we were done, he goes, oh, I asked him, I always review at the end. And I said, so who are you? Nothing. What do I have? Nothing. And I know that stuck with him. And I think it's important for us to see here. That's how important love is. If you're not walking in this love, if you don't have this, you're literally nothing, and what you do have isn't helping you at all. Okay? It says it profits you nothing. So, and we can see that, and how does love profit you? We've talked about that we shouldn't be doing love to get something from someone else, because then that would be manipulation and really not love. Okay? But the Bible actually says that love will profit you. Okay? Love will. Not walking in love won't. But see, it profits you in this way. Mark 12, 29 through 31 says this, and I actually, this is another question that I gave to this young man. You all know this passage, and I could summarize it. And in this case, he answered me, and he quoted the whole scripture. And I liked that he could quote this scripture. And so I asked him, I said, so what is the greatest commandment? And he quoted this passage to me. I go, that's really good. So now tell me what it says. And there's a simple summary to this whole thing. I'm going to get to share in Tanzania, and I know that God's put on my heart to share on love, but it's going to look completely different than what I shared here. And so you know how I'm going to share this passage with them? What love tells you to do is love God, love people. That's how simple, that's really what it's saying here. Love God, love people. Pretty easy, right? Well, it's easy to say it. And the loving God part is actually, I found, pretty easy too, at least for me. Loving people, that can be a little more difficult sometimes. That's all I'm saying. But it's God who's put that love into you so that you can walk in the love that he put in you. But see, because it's very clear that when we don't have that love of God in us, we don't stand a chance of loving people the way we're supposed to. Okay? So, but it's this simple. Love is the greatest commandment we have. Why, how do we know that? Because Jesus said it was. Once again, it's pretty simple. Love me, love God, and love people. And, I mean, it says love your neighbor as yourself, but you can look at neighbor and go, well, who's my neighbor? And God talks about that in going on in the scripture. The way I like to put it, well, so is someone who lives right next door to you your neighbor? Yeah, okay. What about the people, the neighboring city? Would they be your neighbors? Yeah. Well, what about the neighboring state? Is that a neighbor? Yeah, so now we're in New York and Maryland and West Virginia. What about the neighboring nation? Well, that would be Canada and Mexico, so now we've covered North America. And so it says, love your neighbor. And so it expands literally to the whole world, if you look at it that way. Love your neighbor as yourself. And now here's kind of the benefit I was talking about. If, in fact, we can do this, we can love God and we can love people. Romans 13, 8 through 10. I'd like you to turn there. Romans 13, 8 through 10. If we can do this, that means that we're actually obeying his commandment to love, right? He tells us love. Love God, love people. Well, that's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's one of the things I've mentioned up here several times, and it's just the way God chose me. You know, people think of those Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not do all these things. In fact, it's actually mentioned in this next passage that we're going to look at. But the whole Bible is his commandments to us. And you see them, thousands of them in the Word. But there's something that stands out in this passage. Romans 13, 8 through 10 says this, owe no one anything except to love one another. Owe no one anything. Look at that. So it's literally saying, you owe them to love them. Owe no one anything except for this, meaning you owe them that. It doesn't say, well, you don't owe anyone anything. It literally says, don't owe them anything but this, meaning you do owe them this, if you read it that way. And for he who loves another, what does it say here? Has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, any other, all the others in the Bible, not just the ones mentioned there, if there is any other commandment, all of them are summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in other words, all that you see in the Bible, this is God saying in his word, it's all summed up in this one phrase. If you do this, listen to this. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, here's the what if you do this. The therefore. You look back what's been said before. If you do this, therefore, at what comes after is what's the result. Love is the fulfillment of the law. If you're doing this, if you are loving the way God has you to love, it says that is the fulfillment of the law. Okay? So you've literally got the Bible covered if you're doing this. That's why this is so important, this walk of love. In fact, this is a verse that I know that I've talked to you about, and it's 1 Corinthians 16:14. It simply says, let all that you do be done in love. Every single thing. If we can do that, we then fulfill the law. And what's really interesting here is if you look at that passage, 1 Corinthians 16:14, I'll step out of the preaching mode back into the teaching part here. 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all that you do be done with love. The Greek word translated as with there, sometimes we look at these simple words of by and to and think, well, they don't mean, we know what those mean, and they really don't mean much other than what comes to our mind. But what's really interesting with this word with here in particular, the Greek word translated as with there in this verse is the Greek word simply en. Guessing it's pronounced en. Okay? But now what's important to see in this definition here, that with being translated as with from en literally means this. It denotes a fixed position in time, place, or state. So when you read this, let all that you do be done with love. Think of it this way. Let all that you do be done in a fixed position, which is love. What that means is, a fixed position means you're never leaving it. You're not loving one minute and then not loving the next minute. You're fixed in love at all times. So when it's saying, let all that you do be done with love, read that. I'm walking in a fixed position in love at all times as the word tells me that I'm supposed to. Okay? So that's really what God wanted me to share with you. And just as an encouragement, once again, I'm praying not only for myself, but for each of you, that we continue to desire that God gives us more revelation on love. Because when our desires line up with his, I know he's wanting to show us more of who he is. And we know that he is love. So he's going to show us more of who he is if we desire it, if we ask him for it. Now, if we don't want it and we don't go to him saying, show me, well, chances are we're going to miss it even if he is showing us. I don't know about any of you, sometimes do you get busy and then you're just not hearing God the way you did before? It ought not be so, but I can tell you there's been times in my life where I know it's like God was trying to get things through to me and I was just missing it. So for me now, especially in this area, he's brought me to the place where I'm focused on it now, which means focused on him and his love. So that's my prayer for each of you, that we'll remain focused on him and knowing that he's desiring to work his character into us. Because that's really what we're talking about. See, God is love, meaning that's who he is. That's his character. And that he desires our character to be just like his. The Bible says to us, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, the only way we can be is if our character is like his character. So we need to desire that he works who he is, in particular as we're talking about here, love, into us. Now, the same thing applies to all the other areas. You could apply that same statement to joy and to peace. He's wanting to work all those things into you. If God is leading you, hey, I want to show you something here about peace or joy or whatever, go there. Be led by the Spirit. If God's going to speak to each one of us where we need spoken to, just spend the time set apart with him and say, God, what do you have for me? And then I guess my last encouragement was, don't just ask him and then walk away and go, well, I didn't get anything. Well, did you really mean it when you asked him? Because if you did, you'd stay there until you got it. I'm serious. And maybe not in a given day, but you'd go back over and over again till you did. And that's what he's put in me to this point in love. I'm not even close to leaving this area yet. And once again, I don't know that I ever will. It's just what he's put in me. This is this important. And so I want you to stay focused on this. Even during this time, he showed me a few other things. I go, oh, that's good. And then I'm right back to love again. It's not like that I'm discounting him. I needed to hear that, you know, something specific, you know. Even though I could, typically now everything I see and read in the Bible, I tie it back to love in my mind somehow. It just goes there because that's what he has me focusing on. And so I would encourage you to spend time with God. Say, what do you have for me? And then back to that title, and I'll close here. Take your next step in love. And it's because, as I've shared several times, once you have the revelation of something and you've walked in it over a period of time, it does become your character, who you are, and you're walking it automatically. But when God is just showing you something that he's just revealed to you, that it's new and it now stands out, it's easy to come to a place and then just do it and then find out, oh, yeah, God showed me this and I didn't do that. In fact, it's interesting. I have at different times done something and afterwards done that. Go, oh, I knew better than that. And it's done. Sometimes I'll get halfway through doing something and going, oh, I've got this wrong. I need to change right now. It's better if you can stop in advance and gone, okay, what's he showed me? And now walk in it. But sometimes you got to go through that progression to get to where you are getting there. So once again, it's not about condemnation. He's not beating you over the head if you don't. But he's going to show you so that you can walk it out the right way. And there's a reason. We're supposed to be a light that shines to this world. And if we can't show the world his love through us, our light really isn't shining the way it's supposed to. Okay? So once again, I thank you for this time, Father God, that you have shared with us the truth of your word. I ask that you now give us your ability to walk out what you've shown us. We can't do it by ourselves. Continue to reveal yourself to us, not only as love, but in any other area that you want to speak into our lives that we need to walk in you. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. Let it be so according to the truth of your word in our lives. Amen.